You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of October, the day the Miller family sells majority interest of the Utah Jazz to Ryan and Ashley Smith, the now new owners of your Utah Jazz. A monumental day in our favorite team's history. We're talking about it and all aspects of it next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! That was a pow this morning. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it better to be a Jazz fan every day. I want to say as I start this show today, I take today's show very, very seriously. Many of you and I have been together maybe as early as from 1992 together. These are the monumental days where the relationship that we have built, whether you first listened to me on 106.5 The Score in 1992, whether you picked up and listened to me somewhere in the mid-90s when I was on 570 and 1320, or whether just my return to the market 12 years ago was where our relationship started, I do feel as though today is a very significant day for us to, and I'm taking this very seriously. And I just kind of want to say that I understand the magnitude of this and trying to bring across to you the news, the impact, the meaning of it with very little preparation, frankly. I'm recording this 45 minutes after the announcement came out and 35 minutes after the press conference started. So I will do the best, and I hope you will tune in for the upcoming days as well as we begin to digest this more and more. Change is hard. Change is unnerving. Change makes us uncomfortable. We've all dealt with that in 2020. As you know, Gail Miller opened the press conference saying that this had been an unexpected journey for her family, and nothing has been more unexpected than 2020. And this is just another item in the aspect of all of us going through change of uncertainty. And it represents an ending of sorts in Utah. Change does not have to be bad. Change is inevitable. So there's an aspect of what is ahead of us. Who is Ryan Smith? And I will dig into that. There's the impact of the Miller family over the years. And there's the what just happened. So I think maybe on the biggest picture of all, what we have is something that's very representative of the state we live in. If you go back to 1979, or really 1978, when Sam Battistone brought the Utah Jazz to Utah, that was representative of who we were at the time. It was an out-of-state money, out-of-state business coming into Utah to bring us a professional sports franchise because they thought they could profit in our area. And then when Gail and Larry Miller bought the team and then took the incredible family risk to take over complete ownership of the franchise and even built Vivint Smart Home Arena or Vivint Arena, we had the next stage of Utah. Maybe this is oversimplified, but I think there's something here. And the next stage of Utah was the parts salesman who works his way up and becomes a car mogul and is, you know, built through Utah, and the Millers with their amazing story of the two of them dropping out of college because they were verging on being homeless and needing a job to pay the bills. I mean, this is the Beehive State at its greatest at that point, right? We're the diligent workers who worked our way up and became self-made and had success. And then one of the families of Utah, the Eccles and the Millers and the Huntsmen, the great families of Utah. And they bought the franchise. And as Larry said, and he's told the story in the radio shows he and I did together, where he went to the church and he asked them at the time, like, what does this mean to you? And the whoever he talked to, I can't recall, said, you know, first you must answer to me whether you can financially handle this. And then the next thing he said to that was, yes, we can. Then, yes, it's very important for us as a community, as a church, as a state, for us to have this team here. And the Millers sacrificed and did that. And in turn, in that time period, the Olympics came, and the NBA Finals came, and the All-Star Game came in reverse order, and Utah changed. And one of the most predominant changes to Utah has happened in the last decade. And that is Silicon Slopes. And Utah becoming a legitimate tech hub and becoming a business spot for people and growing out of being this little Midwestern town, really, into the Rocky Mountain and even leaking in toward the Bay Area and that evolution. And the ownerships of the Utah Jazz over this time period seem to represent that. Sam Battistone to Larry Miller, and now today to Ryan and Ashley Smith, who sold their company for $8 billion, a company that came out of a basement in Utah that didn't go to Silicon Valley to take, didn't feel the need or that they have to of when the company was growing to take it to Silicon Valley. People scoffed at it. You can't just build this in Utah. You'll need the venture capitals. You'll need the intellectual capability. You'll need the Bay Area. He brought the Bay Area to him. I know people he hired. Some of the smartest and most impressive people I know came to Utah to work at Silicon Slopes and to work at Qualtrics. And now, in many ways to me, what I see happening, and this is a side note, I lived in Seattle. When Microsoft exploded, you had the multitude of Microsoft millionaires who then went off to start their own companies, and they would build the next step. One of them went and built Hulu. Another one built something else. And they've all built these incredible... That's the next thing that's about to happen here. Is the Qualtrics impact is going to be this long-lasting business impact. Well, it is also going to be... Because Utah is unique in our size and the importance of our professional sports, that I do believe that our owner of the Utah Jazz is more important than owner. Steve Ballmer owns the Clippers, but does he impact the world? Does he impact the city? The owner of the Utah Jazz is, in many ways, our community leader. The Millers have been masterful at it. Wonderful. And now Ryan Smith takes that role. And Ryan Smith will dig into who he is and what it means in a little bit. But you've now got someone with a Utah connection who's vowed to keep the team here and who frankly has an enormous depth of wealth. They sold for $8 billion and they owned 88% of the company when they sold it. From the Millers' standpoint, why? Well, you know what? Owning a professional sports franchise and owning movie theaters when people can't go indoors is hard. And they're competing with Steve Ballmer and Vivek and Cy in Brooklyn and incredible, incredible dollar figures all across this league that frankly made it hard. And the journey was going to end at some point. We would like to believe change never happens. We would like to believe that the Millers would have led us forever, and the trust made us think that, or at least that it was possible, and that's what Gale built. But today was a day to allow the next generation of Utah to take over, really our most prized possession. It's the next generation of leaders. And Ryan, in some ways, is the modern Larry. Larry, the parts salesman with the incredible memory and the brilliant mind, and takes the first dealership in Denver, brings it back to Utah. Ryan, doing an internship, I believe at Hewlett-Packard it was, in the Bay Area, beginning his career after leaving BYU. He comes home because his dad has throat cancer. And he starts working on a company and gets 20 clients. And next thing you know, he turns it into Qualtrics. pretty amazing. We will look at more of who Ryan and Ashley Smith are, and we will look at more of the Miller impact as we continue on Locked On Jazz, on the day in which ownership transfers from the Millers to the Smiths, a major monumental day in the history of the Utah Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by The Store, located 6200 South and 20th East, also located at the Gateway. The Store, with a great community, Utah feel, Utah's own. As you go through The Store, wherever it is, you can see all the places that Jeff and Scott and Amy have found Utah vendors, whether it's the jellies, the chips, the salsas, the meats, the great brisket company from Logan that they have in the back. You've got all the pre-made meals and the butcher in the back in the 6200 South 20th East store. It's Wednesday. It's sushi day down at the Gateway store as well as at the store. Stop by, grab your mudslide cookie, and get all the good things about the store. Cottonwood Ace right next door as well. It's 6200 South. It's 20th East, and it is at the Gateway as well. Stop by, get the community feel of the store. Feel free to try your Locked On mudslide ice cream and get that mudslide cookie. It's truly the best. I mean, Hans and Scotty wanted to kill me the other day for something, and I actually then brought them a mudslide cookie, and it was the peace venture that saved me from Hans giving me one of those like big bear hugs that like knocks my shoulders out of socket. So I was super impressive. Today's show is also brought to you by one of Utah's companies, Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar, the improved Built Bar, is even more deliciouser. Is that a word? We're still discussing. 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, and the 12 original flavors. The crew loves the coconut almond. I can't have it. I'm a fan of the orange, surprisingly. That's kind of a flavor you never think you'd really buy into. The mint brownie is super as well. The peanut butter got Ben Golliver's tip of the hat. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy, lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. 19 grams of protein, only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of carb, 180 calories. Unbelievable mix of flavor as well as health. Go to BuiltBar.com. Lockdown will get you 20% off your next order. Lockdown will get you 20% off your next order. So the Millers. It's an incredible story. I was so fortunate to know Larry as well as I did. I wouldn't be back here if it wasn't for Larry. And multiple times, you know, Larry was just... And Larry and I couldn't be more different. Like, that's the beauty in a day and age that's as divided as it is right now. Larry was, you know, controversial and did a bunch of... But there was a heart and a love and a truth to who he was that meant that while you might disagree... You might have a different opinion. It all came back to the same essence of treating people well and doing good. And there could not have been a better person to lead that stewardship the last few years than Gail Miller. Boy, 2 minutes with Gail Miller and you just felt better every time. That's what I'll miss is, and hopefully she'll still be there, her and Kip walking through the back of the arena. I used to just interrupt any conversation just to walk over and say hi because you felt better when you talked to Gail Miller. It's an incredible story, and they've done major things. I mean, quite simply, our city is different. Our state is different because of the Miller family. Do we get the Olympics without the Millers? Probably not. Right? Heck, do we get the vice presidential debate this year without the Millers? They changed the landscape of who we were as a city with their commitment to the Utah Jazz and their building of that arena. They turned us from a city of unknown into a city of business and a city where the tourism flourished. And we, you know, the dramatic chain, one of the fastest growing cities in America for the last decade. It all stems back to their leadership. The philanthropy the Millers have brought us will not end with this, but their work with the homeless, the uneducated, the college programs are truly amazing. One of the first questions I wonder is, will Ryan Smith maintain the incredible Miller Scholarship Fund? Any employee of the Miller Empire, any full-time, I think it's full-time, had their college kids' education paid for to the level of the University of Utah tuition. Any of them. Everyone from this person to that theater person to that person at the car dealership to myself. My son heads to college. The Miller's Scholarship Fund supports it. It's a statement of who they are as people. And they've been great. And that's the sadness of today, right? But we probably, instead of having a sadness toward it, should have a thought of gratitude and how fortunate we are. And the stories are great. Like Larry's tears. Larry going after the fan in Denver. That's just a ridiculous representation of his immense passion. Larry and Carl. Larry at the bench. In it, like Larry with a locker. Gail's incredible conducting herself after the racist fan toward Russell Westbrook. Gail being our pillar and leader over the years. The Miller impact is endless. And one that we should be incredibly grateful. A well-run organization. A well-respected organization. One the San Antonio Spurs regularly talked about as their model for their championships. And then that gets to the next thing, and we'll start talking about this more. Is like, so what does a Ryan and Ashley Smith ownership group do to the Utah Jazz? And my initial reaction is little. Maybe modernizes a little bit. He's an incredible thinker, but little in the ways in which I think it would impact you as a fan. Maybe modernizes your fan experience a little bit, though the Jazz have been working incredibly hard on doing that already. But because you have one of the most respected franchises in sport, because you have one of the most respected front offices in sport, and because you have one of the most incredible coaching staffs and cultures that has led through this organization, there's little to change. When Vivek took over the Sacramento Kings from the Maloofs, there was a world to change. Is that something that he's been able to do? I don't know. It's awfully hard. But that there were, you were taking over a dysfunctional ownership group in the Maloofs. The opposite is true here. One of the highest level, most functioning ownership groups has transferred ownership to someone who's committed to keeping the team in their market, who's been a lifelong fan of the team, who played Junior Jazz and was at a Junior Jazz event recently, and now will bring the next stage of the Utah Jazz forward. It's pretty incredible. It's very Miller-esque, frankly. The transfer today is somewhat symbolic of all of the exact elements that we've seen from the Miller family forever. Nothing radical. Nothing wild. Nothing out of the ordinary. Multiple people had said multiple times that Ryan Smith would likely be the next owner of the Utah Jazz. I frankly thought with the pandemic and the economic burden that the Millers would sell off a portion, not the majority. That was the surprise to me today. When it said majority, that was my surprise. Why? Because it's probably hard to just wrap your head around who the idea that the Millers would sell, right? Like when you start to put it together, the shock value is low. When you first hear it, the shock value is stunning. But it actually fits kind of who the Millers are. It makes sense. Then move it along. And we'll see what Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith do. Who are they? We'll discuss that as we continue. Chad Ford's big board is back and the draft is right around the corner. We'll break down more of the draft. There's a lot of draft news today, but it didn't seem important. So we'll get to it tomorrow or maybe Friday. We'll try to do a live show for you tomorrow. The Utah Jazz ownership transfer to Ryan and Ashley Smith. We're talking about who are they when we continue on Locked On Jazz. So Ryan Smith went to BYU. He went to the Bay Area for an internship. And he returned home when doing an internship at Hewlett-Packard in 2001 when his dad called him and said he had throat cancer. Took the semester off from school at BYU and took his semester off for his internship. And he came home and he signed up, I think it was like 20 customers, and he built a company. And by 2014, that was 2001, 13 years later, it was a billion-dollar company. And then as they were about to go public, they sold it for $8 billion to SAP, and they owned 88% of the company at the time. And now the lingering impact, the octopus's tentacles of Qualtrics, will be a long-term lingering impact in a positive way of the wealth of the area and the future businesses. But who is Ryan Smith? Okay, so he's a rich entrepreneur, but who is he? It's hard, like we try to figure it out. So both of his parents were PhDs. His dad moved the family to Utah to work at BYU. He went to South Korea out of school to teach English. And while they were struggling to get by doing that, he went and took flyers around and became a private English teacher in South Korea and had a lot of success doing that. He started a company whose first 10 customers were customers 10 years later. I heard this story about him. I can't verify it. But when they were expanding Qualtrics and knew they had to bring in people from the outside to work into the company, you know, people from Amazon and other people to bring them forward. They actually had a lot of people live in Park City. This is how I heard the story. And they used to actually have a Qualtrics bus that drove them from Park City to Qualtrics down Provo Canyon. And one of the reasons they wanted to have a bus, is what I was told, was because then they could set the time in which everyone left. It was as important to Qualtrics to maintain the family values and the culture of the company in a manner so that the outside people they were bringing in didn't suddenly start staying till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, as often is the case in Silicon Valley, because that would blow the culture of what they were trying to build. Who is Ryan Smith? Well, in a CNN article, when he asked what was cited him the most, it was working with customers. He has said he had a green smoothie, a granola bar, and it's a matter of time before I just go straight diet Mountain Dew to start the day. Well, that's about as Utah as you can get. When asked what he has on his home screen, his answer was a $5 billion note from Zimbabwe and a picture of my wife and kids. He hoops. This was done many years ago. He hoops Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 a.m. and he runs or bikes the rest of the week to stay in shape. And one of the most interesting quotes from Ryan Smith in this CNN article, which was about 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, he was asked if he could pitch to one person what he would do. He said, most of the leading academics already use Qualtrics. In the last year, they've run impactful studies demonstrating how to more effectively combat obesity, measure the incident of rape and sexual assault on college campuses, understand the role of ethnicity and shoot and don't shoot decisions by law enforcement. Pretty fascinating. I want to pitch more people like that. Ryan Smith was asked about Utah and the state's potential. He said it's awkward for a lot of people here. We need to make it easier for people to be here because we have all the makings to make this a major tech hub. Well, It's awkward for a lot of people here. We need to make it easier for people to be here because we have all the makings of a major tech hub. He's now in a position to do it. He is now in a position to lead that. The other aspect of Ryan Smith, and we'll get to Ashley in a moment, not to be, as we've learned from Gale, don't underestimate. Don't get too patriarchal here. We learned after Larry stepped aside how important Gale was and how wonderful she was to lead us in the last decade. Ryan Smith, as CEO of Qualtrics, paid himself $100,000. In some ways, that might be the single most important note that I've read about him in all of the research I've done about him today. That, and the fact that their first 10 customers were still customers. Feels like the right person to lead moving forward. When he was asked what he would tell his 18-year-old self, he said, trust your gut, learn to be scrappy, tune out the noise, and play the long game. How do you run an NBA franchise? Trusting your gut, learning to be scrappy, turn out the noise, and playing the long game. He's a data guy. Worth noting. Ashley grew up in Las Vegas. She came to BYU as a dance major, has since opened a very successful dance studio in Utah County, and has been important in leading the Smash Dance Academy. She was at the Royal Academy of Dancing Ballet Curriculum, International Society of Tap Dancing Curriculum, and a certified American ballet teacher, so very acclaimed dancer. And in 2011, she suddenly was teaching over 600 people in the dance world in Utah County. Junior jazz dancers, here we come. So that's where we are. A new ownership of the Utah Jazz. It's an incredible day. We will watch it closely. We'll see how it impacts things. And we probably won't know any of those answers entirely, but that's the best background I could give you. Thanks for taking the time with me today. Be back with you tomorrow for Locked On Jazz. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.